At Penn Station East Coast Subs, your ears may hear, and your craving deep down inside hears.
Penn Station's cheesesteak is grilled to order with 100% USDA choice steak and sautéed veggies. Piled high on that legendary bread, topped with aged provolone and served melty and hot straight from the oven.
So when you hear, your craving knows.
Time for Penn Station, and don't forget the fresh cut fries.
Penn Station.
Love your sub.
The open road feels even better with CME Federal Credit Union. CME wants to beat your current auto loan rate by 1.5% APR and give you a fresh start with no payments for 60 days. Whether it's tailgates, pumpkin patches, or road trips through Ohio's back roads, let CME help you cozy up to savings and make this season one to remember. Terms and conditions apply. Minimum floor rate of 4.99% APR. APR means annual percentage rate. Federally insured by NCUA. Visit CMEFCU.org for additional details.
There we go.
That's it, boys and girls.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the program. Got a lot to talk about today. A lot to talk about. Let's get situated here. It's going to be a good day. It's already a good day. It's the Lord's Day, you know, so we're going to sit down, we're going to have a little talk, throw a fresh lip pillow in there, and just kind of see where this show goes. We've got a lot of topics today. NFL Week 3 just happened. You know, I try to watch some college football, but I feel like the quality of college football has declined, man. I saw Lenora Sellers, who's supposed to be one of the best quarterbacks in the country for South Carolina, throw a wide open crosser route and just miss. And I had a rant on Friday, I think it was, about the transfer portal and all the bad things that have come with it. And I think this is a byproduct, the quarterback play you see in college football. You know, DJ Lagway, he's supposed to be a guy, not a guy. Carson Beck playing really well. I'm going to Ole Miss versus LSU here this weekend, and I'm pretty fired up about it. Haven't been back to Oxford, Mississippi, probably since, 2018. Something like that. When we were going to school in Birmingham, after I was done playing ball, especially, we would make a point to try and make trips to the many surrounding SEC towns that were around us living in Birmingham. And, yeah. We'll get to the Bengals, I promise. We'll get to the Cincinnati Bengals, dude. We'll get to them. I'm easing into it. So we used to go to, when I was at school, the last couple years of school, when I wasn't playing ball no more, we used to drive over to Oxford, Mississippi. We used to drive to Athens, Georgia. We used to drive to Tuscaloosa. Never went to Auburn, never spent time in Auburn for whatever reason. Like, I lived in Alabama for 4 years. So I've still never been to Auburn for whatever reason. But I will be making my return to Oxford, Mississippi this weekend for the LSU game, the Ole Miss LSU game. I'm fired up about it. Should be a good one, right? We got two teams in Ole Miss and LSU that haven't been disappointing this season. Clemson, very disappointing, right? And I think they deserve it. They didn't fire those woke professors that celebrated the death of our sweet prince, Charlie Kirk, not to get political. So, you know, the thing with college football is it's just, it's kind of agitating me. The transfer portal stuff with college football, it's kind of agitating me. And I posted a reel on TikTok, okay? I posted a video on TikTok talking, ranting about the transfer portal. And let me tell you, there were some folks in my comments that were very rattled by my anti-transfer portal rant. I basically called these kids soft because there's no fear of the bench. And it's not football anymore. There's no fear in college kids these days of repercussions if you don't do your job. A lot of younger kids these days, I feel like, hey, damn kids! A lot of younger kids these days, I feel like they just show up and they feel like they're owed success. And that's not football. You know what I mean? So I feel like the quality of the college game is suffering, minus a few programs. And I think Ole Miss is doing a hell of a job upholding a good program. I think LSU is doing a hell of a job upholding a good program. Brian Kelly is a coach who took me a while to be sold on, but it seems like he's running a really good ship over at LSU. And that kind of program needs a guy that's going to run a good ship. LSU with a lot of history, a lot of good juice behind that program. Cool colors, cool culture, cool everything. Okay, Daniel Jones, man. So here's what we're going to get into in the show today. I'm going to try to cover everything. I'm going to try to cover everything thoroughly, and I'm going to try to cover everything with the knowledge I have. We've got a Daniel Jones resurrection in Indianapolis in Naptown. I remember thinking before the season when the Colts announced Daniel Jones as their starter, I remember, because I used to work for the Colts. I used to sell season tickets for the Colts. I spent a year there working at the facility amongst the players, Chris Ballard, Frank Reich, Nick Sirianni, Matt Eberflus. All those guys were there in the building when I was there. And the role I was in was a consumer-facing role. So I was calling fans of the team, normal people, trying to sell them season ticket plans. And so that job, obviously, if you're good at selling, you can make up some ground. But also, team performance is a big factor in whether people buy and subsequently whether I was able to make money in a role like that. And the reason I preface that with everything is when Indianapolis announced Daniel Jones as their starter this offseason, I was sitting there in my office at my desk like I'm sitting here right now thinking, God damn, I am so happy that I'm not selling tickets for them right now. Because I thought it was going to be a disaster. I thought it was going to be a dumpster fire. And you know what? My God, has this kid out of Duke proved us all wrong this first three games of the year. Indy sits at 3-0. Daniel Jones looks like one of the elite quarterbacks in the entire league. Okay? And so the debate is it New York? Is it the New York Giants being a terrible place for quarterbacks, or is it Shane Steichen and the guys in the front office in Indianapolis? Sorry, the coaching staff in Indianapolis. Because, listen, that coaching staff is completely different now than it was when I was there. A lot of the front office staff is pretty similar. There's some really good people in the front office in Indianapolis. The COO, I've told stories about him before, Mr. Pete, right? He'd send our team, our entry-level ticket sales team, he'd send us emails in the middle of the day and be like, hey, there's some cool memorabilia in the break room. That's how I got this football right there, even though it's not a Colts football. The Irsays, they're a great family. I never met Mr. Irsay, but I was around his daughters every single day, and they're obviously the ones running the ship. Indianapolis is a great organization, and I feel like the reason they haven't had success in the last half a decade, really since Andrew Luck, and by the way, my second week selling tickets for the Colts was the Andrew Luck preseason retirement game. That was my second week of work there. And that's a funny story too. We were sitting down there at the field level. So when you're selling tickets in the NFL or any sport for that matter, I sold tickets in professional hockey as well. When you're selling tickets in any sport,
Your product is the game, right? The best way to sell something is when your product's being showcased. And so your product is the game. So as salespeople, it was our job to be at every game, preseason, regular season. Hell, we didn't make the playoffs that year, but playoffs, if that's the case, right? So our work is done. Usually you set up a little sales table at the, you know, at some busy section in the concourse of the stadium. And you just hang out at the sales table, try and strike up conversations with fans, get them to come over, get them to buy something. And a lot of times after the team would win was when the irons got hot at the sales table, right after a win. People's excited, all this stuff. But all of our work was done. It was a preseason game. And again, the Colts are such a great organization. They took such good care of me, of my team, and we were literally fresh out of college, like lowly inside sales reps, like think of like Wolf of Wall Street, Jordan Belfort, first day on the stock, on the trading floor, you're pond scum, right? But nobody told us we're pond scum. They treated us very well. They would feed us. They would, you know, we went to work at the facility with, I remember walking into work in Indianapolis, almost on a daily basis with either Malik Hooker, and he drove, Malik Hooker's now with Dallas, I think. Malik Hooker used to drive a G-Wagon, a Mercedes G-Wagon that was scarlet red because he went to Ohio State. And so I would always pull up behind him approximately 5 minutes before the workday started. Jacoby Brissett, he drove a black Range Rover. You know, Jacoby Brissett was our quarterback that season in 2019 after Andrew Luck abruptly retired. And there's talks about Joe Burrow being the next Andrew Luck. That's very agitating to me. We may or may not cover that. I don't even know if I want to talk about the Cincinnati Bengals today. I probably will, right? But I don't even know if I want to talk about it. But anyways, it's a great organization in Indianapolis, and they deserve to win. And I remember walking into work with, you guys remember Marlon Mack, the stud running back out of the University of South Florida? Whatever happened to his career? He was a great back for us in 2019. Nyheim Hines, that's another guy that kind of, there are a lot of really great players on that, on our 19 Indianapolis Colts team that have kind of disappeared into the ether in today's version of pro football. You got Marlon Mack, disappeared, great player. Nyheim Hines, kind of disappeared, great player. Darius Leonard, Darius at the time was his name. That's what I always wanted to call him. Darius Leonard, they call him the Maniac. Later referred to as Shaquille Leonard, Shaq Leonard, for whatever reason. He was the nucleus of that team in 2019. The whole team, both sides of the ball, he was the nucleus. And that guy's career just kind of disappeared into the ether as well. So all that to say, Indianapolis is a great organization. It was a pleasure to work for them. And they treated a lowly inside sales rep like me and all my other teammates as if we were players, fed us like we were players. And we were sitting down there at the field level suite after all our work was done. I believe it was the first preseason game of the year that year, 2019, for the Indianapolis Colts. And I was sitting across from my teammate, my buddy, and we were eating. And he was scrolling Twitter, he was scrolling his phone. You know, we always like to scroll Twitter, see everyone's thoughts about the game and stuff, whatever game it was. And he passes the phone over to me, and his face is like white as a ghost. And he was like, "Is this real?" He shows me the phone. "Is this a real account?" And it said, "Adam Schefter, Andrew Luck has decided to retire from the NFL. And this was back before you could purchase a blue check mark on Twitter, right? If you had a blue check mark on Twitter, you're someone famous, right? Or somebody notable, right? And I look at the tweet, I look at the handle, and then I see the blue check mark, and
At Penn Station East Coast Subs, your ears may hear, and your craving deep down inside hears,
Penn Station's cheesesteak is grilled to order with 100% USDA choice steak and sautéed veggies. Piled high on that legendary bread, topped with aged provolone and served melty and hot straight from the oven.
So when you hear your craving knows,
time for Penn Station. And don't forget the fresh cut fries.
Penn Station.
Love your sub.
Tell my buddy, I'm like, hey, Nate, that's really Adam Schefter. And right as I said that, so I'm getting goosebumps right now. Right as I said that, we started hearing, because we're on the field level, right? We started hearing boos raining down on us. And our boss comes up to us, and he's white as a ghost. His eyes are wide as hell. And he's serious as all get out. And he goes, we had, like, name tags on, you know, we're dressed up, you know, suits, blazers, stuff like that. And he said, here's what I need you guys to do. He's white as a ghost. His eyes are wide. He goes, here's what I need you guys to do. I need you guys to pop off your name tags. I need you guys to take off your blazers. I need you guys to cover up your staff backpacks. And I need you guys to get the fuck out of here now because people are pissed. And so we literally got led out of the stadium, like beelining, speed walking out of there, trying to be subtle. And I didn't have a single client at the time, but somehow I had like 6 or 7 voicemails from angry fans about Andrew Luck retiring. But anyways, that's my story. that's my story around Indy. But the point of all that being is I think it's a great organization. I think they deserve to win. I think the problem in Indy has been a quarterback problem. And now you got this guy, Daniel Jones, in there. Everybody, including me, was laughing at the Colts when they announced Daniel Jones, the starter at quarterback. And now this kid's balling. He looks like one of the best players in the league. I think it was a New York thing. I think when you look at a situation of being the quarterback of the New York Giants versus being the quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts, the first thing that comes to mind for me is the pressure from the media and the community at large. People are much more friendly in Indianapolis. Now, I will say these Colts fans, they get pissed when they're not winning and they leave games. And they, you know, I experienced it on the front lines calling people on the phones after a loss. They are very hard on their Colts, but it's because they love them. And I think the people of Indianapolis are much more forgiving as a whole than the people of New York probably are. And I think the media of Indianapolis are much more forgiving by far than the media in New York is. So I think that's a big factor. I think a quarterback like Russell Wilson, who's been there, done that, is probably much better suited for the Giants. And that's another thing, man. Y'all watched that Sunday night game last night. Y'all watched that Sunday night game where it's damn near a tie ball game at halftime. New York's got a great defensive front. They had a good game plan in the first half against Kansas City, where they were rushing Lawrence, Thibodeau, and then they were kind of spying Abdul Carter. So Abdul Carter was basically like the extra rusher that was kind of hanging back there. And then when Mahomes would roll out, Abdul Carter did something that in a linebacker room we call plastering, right? So let's say you're the spy. Let's say you are a guy that your main job is to make sure the quarterback doesn't leave the pocket and get meaningful yards on the ground, okay? Whether that's a linebacker, sometimes you can take a 5-technique D lineman, maybe even put him on a 3-technique inside shade and then have him kind of mug and back out of there to spy. You can do that, and they were kind of doing that with New York Giants were kind of doing that with Abdul Carter. And so you call it plastering. It's a very tough thing to do when the quarterback, especially a quarterback like Mahomes, who's got a little jive in his step. You know what I mean? So it's almost like playing safety in the run game. You have to find the right angle of pursuit.
and then you have to, you can't close the distance at full speed a lot of the times. Like, if you watch the film from last night, you'll notice Abdul Carter, he kind of, like, had his hands up, like, as he was running at him, trying to maybe deflect the ball, getting, you know, bother the pass, whatever. It's a very, very, it's called plastering, right? Or spying, or whatever you want to call it. A lot of, you know, the layman, the normal football fan will know what a QB spy is. It's a very delicate art between patience and aggression. And you have to have the right angle, and you have to go the right speed. You have to know when to kind of hit it. You have to know when to throttle down, especially with a guy like Mahomes. So I thought New York had a great game plan. It looked like Kansas City obviously opened it up in the second half. Dude, honestly, I didn't watch as much football as I should yesterday. I was so flustered about this goddamn Cincinnati Bengals team. I turned it off, man. I turned the Bengals-Vikings game off at halftime, and I went and played golf. And then I caught some of the Kansas City-New York game. I did not want to think about football during the afternoon slate. And we'll get caught up. We'll watch the film. Probably watch the film on the Bengals, even though I'm going to want to cry. You know what I'm saying? But it looked like the Chiefs were kind of having a crisis there. On the sideline, it looked like, was it Travis Kelce and Andy Reid having a little exchange, having a little heated exchange there on the sideline? What's going on with these guys? Are they used to any kind of adversity based on the golden years of success that they've had leading up to this point? They don't have a clear wide receiver one. Mahomes looks flustered. Travis Kelce is probably on the back nine of his career. It looks like if there's any bright spot in this Kansas City team, it's the defense, which you wouldn't really expect. So, is it over? Is the Chiefs dynasty over? I don't really see them as a factor in this NFL season down the stretch. And look, take my takes with a motherfucking grain of salt, boy, because I just told y'all last week that Jake Browning and the Cincinnati Bengals were going to take it all the way. And that at 2-1, those hopes are very clearly dashed. Okay? And I'm still trying to figure out whether I want to rant about these motherfucking bungles today, man. Still trying to figure out whether I want to rant about it. I put my neck out, bro, for Jake Browning last week on TikTok. I'm surprised there aren't more trolls in my comments circling back to say, dude, that was a RETARDED take. You know what I'm saying? I'm worried about saying that word because I said it in a video and I put it on TikTok and they took me down. But anyways, we're very, very possibly in an NFL season where both the Kansas City Chiefs and the Cincinnati Bengals might be irrelevant. And since COVID, that hasn't really been a thing. That's a weird thing for me. I'm used to Joey Burr having us in the mix. And I'm used to the Kansas City Chiefs annoying the piss out of me because they find a way to win with their witchcraft and their magic every week. Haven't seen Taylor Swift on my television one time this season. Take that as you will. But it seems like there's a crisis brewing in Kansas City. It seems like they don't have that voodoo magic that they've had since really COVID. Last half decade, seems like they don't have that anymore. They're having disagreements on the sideline. It's going to be an interesting thing whether this organization, this team, in the culture they've got, whether they're able to deal with some adversity or whether they just crumble under any type of tough situation. Only time will tell. Mahomes, he's been there before. He's done that before. He's got rings. You know, Kelce, been there before, done that before. It's got rings. But when's the last time they faced some real adversity? You know? And that might be a good sign. You know, I remember watching Nick Saban and his Alabama teams when they would be up by 50 points and they're still fighting on the sideline, getting pissed at each other over some minute detail. So it might be a good sign for the Kansas City Chiefs that during a win last night, they got tensions boiling over on the sidelines because they know that they may not be playing at a level that they think they could play at. Might be a good sign, but a lot of people, a lot of shows that are similar to mine in subject matter today have been saying that the Chiefs might be in crisis, okay? And it's very easy. Look, we're wrapping up week three of the NFL season tonight. It's very easy to overreact at this point. I mean, as a Cincinnati Bengals fan, it's always very easy to be dramatic about what happened with the team, what goes on the field, good or bad. It's very easy to start overreacting, start losing your marbles. And I'm there pretty much. Everybody in Cincinnati, everybody on the internet who has any semblance of stripes associated with their profile is talking about, thank you for the sub. This is the longest name for a YouTube, I think, MSU. Thank you for the sub. This team, everybody, this Bengals team, everybody's saying blow it up. Blow it up. It's over. Trade T. Higgins. Beef up your offensive line. The offensive line, I haven't watched the film myself, but I've seen all 22 clips on Twitter of this Cincinnati Bengals line yesterday. Worst I've ever seen him play. And before the season, everybody was saying this is the best offensive line we've ever seen. Ted Karras got absolutely destroyed. Dalton Reisner, however the fuck you say that guy's name, got absolutely destroyed. The run game was horrendous. The play calling was, again, R-E-T-A-R-D-E-D. Okay? First down, run it for no gain. Second down, run it again for maybe a 1 or 2 yard loss. Third and 11, third and 8, third and 12, third and 14, whatever the fuck it is. Okay, wonder what they're going to do on third and 14. Oh, we're going to throw it for the first time. Great. Horrible play calling, and everybody wants to pass around blame. Everybody wants to see who's to blame. I'm sick of week after week being in pain. And I posted a video online. I turned this Bengals game off at halftime. I posted a video online, and I tried to be very simple with what I was saying. And what I said was, this is an ownership problem. Everybody wants to take the easy route. And what I mean by the easy route is they want to blame something or somebody that can be changed now. Right? The head coach is the problem. Yeah, we'll just fire him. The OC is the problem. Dan Pitcher. What does Dan Pitcher do? Okay? If you're an offensive coordinator but the head coach is calling plays, like, what are you really doing? Maybe you're focusing on some
at Penn Station East Coast Subs. Your ears may hear, and your craving deep down inside hears,
Penn Station's cheesesteak is grilled to order with 100% USDA choice steak and sauteed veggies piled high on that legendary bread, topped with aged provolone and served melty and hot straight from the oven.
So when you hear your craving knows,
time for Penn Station. And don't forget the fresh cut fries.
Penn Station.
Love your sub.
Aspect of the offense. I really hope to God he's not focused on the offensive line in the run game, because that would be pretty goddamn sad based on what I saw yesterday. Okay? You're talking about professional fucking football. You're talking about a 17-3 deficit with about 4 minutes left in the second quarter, 4 minutes left in the half, where you're driving the ball down the field. You have a chance to go punch it in and then hopefully get the ball with a 17-10 deficit to start the second half and maybe march down and tie it back up, and it's a completely different ball game. I had stepped away from the game. The game was on the TV in my living room. And I stepped into my kitchen to make my normal morning food, which is half a pound of ground beef and four eggs. You throw it in a pan, mix it together, right? But it's football. A lot happens in small amounts of time. So I like to take my phone and turn on the NFL app and listen to the Cincinnati broadcast of the game. And boy, let me tell you, when I walked over to that stovetop to start making my food, I was thinking exactly what I just said. All right, we're driving right now. We'll go get us one. And then to start the second half, we'll go get us another one. It'll be a tie ball game. We'll be right back in this thing. Boy, did my gut have a different feeling when I heard Isaiah Rodgers was going back the other way to score his second touchdown of the day on defense in the first half. This is professional fucking football. How can you tell me that with 4 minutes left and a half, it's 17-3, you're losing, and by the time those last couple seconds tick off the clock to end the half, you're looking at a 62-yard field goal and a 34-3 deficit? Tell me. In professional football, tell me how that's excusable. Tell me. Tell me why our guys who are professional fucking football players, we're talking about the best guys in the world to do this thing every Sunday. Tell me why they can't hold on to the football. Tell me why they're getting stripped. What, two times in a row? Two series in a row? We coughed it up. Jamar had one coughed up. P. Ryan had one coughed up. Tell me. Tell me how, as a head coach in the NFL, you don't have your guys even prepared to hold on to the ball. And this is the problem with the Cincinnati Bengals organization as a whole. And again, it trickles down from ownership. That's why I believe the Indianapolis Colts are a good organization, because they have a good ownership group. And the expectation set by the owners trickles down the food chain, all the way down to the cafeteria staff and janitors. People think, oh, it's the NFL. They're going to find the best people in the world to put in these certain jobs. No, they're not. Not in every organization. Because different organizations in the NFL are just like different publicly traded companies on the stock market. Some of them have good culture. Some of them have shitty culture. Some of them are just okay with being mediocre year in and year out, as long as the lights stay on and the AC stays on. People don't understand that ownership groups are what really define where these organizations go. And it sounds ridiculously simple and obvious. But everyone wants to say, oh, it's Zach Taylor. Yeah, it's definitely part Zach Taylor. But who hired Zach Taylor? Oh, it's the offensive line. Blame Duke Tobin. Yeah. I buy that a little bit. But who hired Duke Tobin? Who signs the checks? It's not Duke Tobin. It's Katie fucking Blackburn. Who, again, I've come at her a lot of times on this show, looks mentally challenged. looks like there's some sort of genetic deficiency. I'm talking about Mike Brown's daughter, whose husband, a former lawyer. Isn't it funny how former lawyers seem to always eke into professions that they're not qualified for? They're real good at talking, I bet, in those interviews. Troy Blackburn, Katie's husband, no football background, but marries into, and we'll give it to him, a pretty historic football family in the Browns. Troy Blackburn, former lawyer, marries into the Brown family, marries Katie Blackburn. Don't know how he does it. Maybe she was better looking in her prime years. These are the people running the Cincinnati Bengals. These are the people behind closed doors telling people like Zach Taylor, here's what you're going to say. You're going to take blame for all of this. We're making this decision, but we're going to sit up in our office safe, free from accountability. And so I made a video yesterday, and I meant every word of it. We have to boycott this Cincinnati Bengals organization in order to see real change. We have to push this ownership group out like Dan Snyder got pushed out with the Washington Redskins. It is the only way, and it's painful short term because you feel like you're betraying your franchise, your team. I've been watching this team since I was 6, 7 years old, since I was conscious. And the game yesterday was probably the lowest point, the darkest time I've ever had watching this organization play football. And people say, oh, you must not have been there in the 90s, you know, all this stuff. But I got a lot of people that lived through the Bengals in the 90s commenting on my videos saying, yeah, yesterday was worse. It's the worst loss in franchise history. And I might be overreacting. You know, it's really hard to see this team doing anything meaningful this season after that. They just look defeated. Football's a mental game. And when you just accept defeat, the prophecy confirms itself. I saw a lot of people saying yesterday that these guys are playing like they want Zach Taylor fired. I really don't know what to make of it. I stuck my neck out last week on this show. I made some of the most egregious, disgusting takes about the Bengals last week on this show. All of them clouded with bias because I was taking copium all week. I was coping with the fact that our franchise quarterback is gone. But who's to say that that game doesn't look like that with Burrow? And I mean, I think it would probably look different. But who the fuck cares? Because it's not reality. I hate these coulda, woulda, shoulda, if discussions in sports. Yeah, they're fun if you want to mentally masturbate a little bit. But like, we have to deal with the reality of what is right now. Do we trade away T. Higgins and blow this thing up? The problem with an incompetent organization like the Cincinnati Bengals, and again, incompetent organizations start with the ownership group. The problem with incompetent organizations is that they don't focus on the right things. Okay? We've got 50% of our cap tied up in 6 players. Look, hey, let's say I go car shopping, right? Let's say I'm not really that rich, but, you know, I feel like I want to start running with the big dogs. Okay, I go car shopping, and the car salesman asks me, what do you want? And I say, well, I'm only 28, and, you know, I've got some money, but, you know, I'm not really that rich, but I want to look rich. I want to look like I'm doing really well. You got any Ferraris? And the car salesman kind of perks up. He starts kind of foaming at the mouth a little bit. He's like, yeah, I got Ferraris. I got a good deal on one. It's got kind of a shitty engine and shitty transmission. But, you know, it'll run. It'll get you out of the parking lot. It'll get you home, you know. It looks really good. It looks really good. But on the inside, it's got some, you know, it's got some problems. And I say, well, you know, I want to look like I'm balling. I want to look like I'm rich. you know what? I'm gonna buy that Ferrari off of you. I'm gonna allocate half of my net worth every month to these car payments. These car payments are ridiculous, but you know, it'll make me look good. It'll make me look smart. It'll make me look rich. I'm going to buy this Ferrari off of you with a shitty motor, shitty transmission. And then 2 weeks later, the car can't even drive itself. It looks really pretty in that driveway, but the car can't even drive itself. What's the point of a car again? Oh, yeah, it's to get you from point A to point B. I forgot. And now this Ferrari sitting in my driveway can't even get me from point A to point B. But goddamn, it looks good sitting there. That's the mentality of this Cincinnati Bengals organization. They want to look competent. They want to be flashy. But we don't worry about things like holding on to the football. We don't worry about things like good interior offensive line. And you know what the most sad part is about this Bengals team? Is that league average defense that everyone said we so sorely needed last year is here this year. I'm literally like laughing because I'm in so much pain as I say that. That league average defense that we needed last year with the most prolific non-playoff making offense in the history of pro football last year. They just needed that league average defense. And guess what? Now we got the worst offense in football statistically this year. And we got that motherfucking league average defense we asked for. Praise God. Thank you, God. We got our league average defense. And you see that Indianapolis Colts defense being run by Lou Anarumo, the world famous scapegoat of the Blackburns' incompetence. Lou Anarumo, the world-famous scapegoat, running a tight ship in Indy. I don't know how to describe it any more plainly. I said I might not rant about this Bengals team. Guess what? We're here. Anarumo's not the problem. He was the least of the problems, actually. Very lazy to have blamed Lou Anarumo for the defensive struggle last year. But guess what, man? When you're fucking incompetent, you're going to do lazy shit. That's what leads to the incompetence. So that's my rant about the Bengals today.
Get your shopping done right this holiday season with Big Air Columbus. Right now, you can get $100 off Elite Player Passes at Big Air, which is unlimited play all day, any day. Or buy one $25 gift card, get a free pair of holiday grip socks, plus a 1.5 hour pass to use after the new year. Big Air is the perfect gift for the kids in your family. So get your holiday shopping done right with Big Air Columbus. Stop by today inside Fieldhouse USA at the Polaris Mall or online at BigAirUSA.com.
I'm so exhausted as a fan. Like, I don't even know if I'm going to talk about them. I'm not buying gear anymore. I'm not going to any games. I'll be tempted to watch. I got an internet TV service that I'm pretty sure is, it's not direct TV certified. I'll say that. So I don't know if my watching the games or engaging with them. I don't know how gung-ho I'm going to go with this Bengals boycott. And part of the reason that this ownership group continues to stay in place is that a lot of these fans are self-harm-inducing loyalists to this organization. The organization could literally tell you, turn around and put your thumb in your ass and caw like a rooster. And these people would do it, you know. And the ownership group of the Bengals just sits up in their executive suite and laughs at the people of Cincinnati. It's the absolute antithesis of what I believe pro football should be. Pro football is a pillar in a community. It's a representation of your city. It's a representation of your people. And the Bengals ownership group chooses to sit up in their suite with no accountability, and they laugh at you. They laugh at the city of Cincinnati because they say, these dumb fucks will buy tickets every year anyway. All we got to do is keep the status quo. All we got to do is print that Burrow name on these nine jerseys, and they'll buy them. They don't give a fuck about the city of Cincinnati. They don't care how this team reflects in the culture. They don't care. That Super Bowl appearance was the closest thing that we're ever going to get to success. And I wish I had been wise enough at the time to drink it all in and enjoy it while it lasted. Because it's, I mean, I really think, and I might be overreacting, it's week three, but it's over for Cincinnati. It's over for now. I have pivoted my focus to my Red Legs, to my Cincinnati Reds, who have, for the day, they are in the MLB wild card. Okay? And I will tell you, there's not many things that could compensate for the way that yesterday's game made me feel about the Bengals season as a whole, but goddamn, if these Red Legs are able to secure a wild card spot and then go on a run in the playoffs and maybe get this city a World Series, whoo, I'd take that for sure. But you know, yeah, I'm done talking about that half-ass organization, Bengals. I love them so much. I'm just in so much pain. And I don't love, let me say this, I don't know if I even love the Bengals as an organization. I love the city of Cincinnati. I love the fans of Cincinnati, and they deserve so much more than what we've always had. That's all. And the Brown family, they just sit up in their suite, and they laugh at them. They say, these people are idiots. We're ripping them off. Speaking of rip-offs, dude. How about them motherfucking Cowboys? How about them Dallas Cowboys? Is Jerry Jones the best salesperson in the world or what? How does this Dallas Cowboys team continue to lose and their valuation goes up? Talk about sitting up in your suite laughing, running to the bank. How does Jerry Jones sell this team, this organization, every year? I can't imagine what Stephen A. Smith was going on about this morning. Can't imagine. They get absolutely dog-walked by the Chicago Bears. Caleb Williams looked pretty good, didn't he? Huh? I always forget to use that. Caleb Williams. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know how. Like, I feel like Jerry Jones could sell blood to a girl on her period. Like, how do people buy into this franchise every year? They've got to be feeling, I mean, I don't want to compare plight, but shoot, if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, you probably feel pretty similar to a Cincinnati Bengals fan right now. Got absolutely dog-walked by a Bears team that, you know, like Caleb Williams was missing on a bunch of reads the first couple weeks of the year. I watched it on film. Like, wasn't playing well. I haven't seen any film from that game, but it just looked like they got dog-walked. Cowboys are frauds, dude. They always have been. Dak Prescott, not good. He's not good. I think CeeDee Lamb got hurt at some point, but then he returned. Game was in Chicago, I believe. It's astounding to me how Jerry is able to garner hype for this organization year in and year out. It's astounding to me. But I would imagine, I don't think Cowboys fans probably feel as low as us Bengals fans do today, but I'm sure they're down there somewhere. And then more bad news for another organization, Nick Bosa, the pillar of that San Francisco 49ers defense, is out with an ACL tear. Did it against the Jets yesterday.
And I don't know what it is with that 49ers organization, whether it's a subpar training staff, whether it's just a collection of guys that are pretty injury prone, maybe a mix. You know, I'm pretty sure San Francisco's on the road. They got to get rid of turf fields, by the way, in the NFL. I don't know why there's any excuse at this point for the NFL to have turf fields, turf surfaces in any stadium. It is it is egregiously anti-player at this point to make these guys play on turf surfaces. I guarantee you if Burrow and the Bengals were playing on grass in week two in Paycor Stadium, that he wouldn't have gotten that turf toe injury. I bet a turf surface in the Meadowlands, 49ers versus Jets, was a main reason for Nick Bosa tearing his ACL yesterday. But like all of the 49ers core players for the last 4 or 5 years, at least, all of the 49ers core players, George Kittle's always struggling with injuries, Nick Bosa's always getting hurt, it seems like, and Christian McCaffrey's always getting hurt. And then Brock Purdy also has turf toe. I don't know. I don't know what with the 49ers, whether it's the guys themselves or the training staff or a combination of the two. Like, I don't know, man. It's a violent game. I've never played at the pro level, so I've never felt what the physical toll is week in, week out. But if that's your job, and I learned this phrase from Cam Newton, the best ability is availability. You know, if you're a pro athlete, like, I don't want to, what I was about to say is anti-player, but it's like, you know, get your pliability routine, get a little yoga mat and make sure you stretch every day. Make sure you get in the cold plunge every day, get in the sauna every day, make good food for yourself, meditate, read, write. I don't know. I feel like if somebody's a pro athlete and their body is their temple and the mind is connected to the body and the spirit's connected to the body, you're taking care of all those things, eating nourishing food every day, clean, non-processed food. I feel like it'd be pretty hard to get hurt all the time like that. But again, I've never been a pro football player. I don't know what it feels like week in, week out physically to play that game amongst athletes like that. So, you know, I won't add much more than that. Just seems like the 49ers core group year in, year out has really struggled with their main players getting hurt. And Nick Bosa is now out for the year, and I think that'll really affect the NFC West. Eagles had a miracle. That blocked kick was crazy. I watched the slow-mo replay of it. And it's nice to see that some NFL fans are happy and having a good time. You know? It's nice to see some fans enjoying the season. You know? And I don't have much more than that. It's got to be a really painful way to lose for L.A. I bet the special teams coordinator got a little ass-chewing there to start the week. But, yeah, I mean, pretty cool moment. Probably the moment of the week, NFL Week 3. It's all good stuff. I just don't know where to go with this Bengals organization. I don't even know if they're worth talking about. I mean, I'm going to talk about them. I'm not going to bullshit you guys or myself. But I will say, my phone is this is a one-man operation, by the way. I do this on my own every day, Monday through Friday, 5-ish to 6-ish Eastern. And I'd imagine if you're here, you like football. And if you like football, you're going to love our channel. You're going to love our show. So if you're watching and you haven't subbed, you're going to see us again. I would just go ahead and get it out of the way. It's free for now. The bigger we get, we might have some paid content, some options to do that. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. If you're watching this and you're not sub, do me a favor. It'd be really nice. And if you don't feel that, if you don't feel inclined to do that just yet, at least double tap that screen for me. Really appreciate it. That being said, I'm a one-man operation, one-man band, and the camera for this show is my iPhone. And my iPhone does not have access to a charger where it sits at this point, and it's at about 5%. So we're at about an hour, and we're going to call it a show today. I feel like we covered some good stuff. We will be back tomorrow and every day for the rest of the week. Probably going to jump on a Madden stream here right after this. Might be one of the first Madden streams ever that I don't play as the Bengals, because I'm sick of these ghouls in this ownership group taking advantage of the people of Cincinnati. And I feel like the people need to take action. There's too many folks in the city of Cincinnati to not speak up and do something about this ownership group, because it's laughable how much this ownership group does not really care about succeeding. And you can see it in the things they focus on. It's laughable. It's dysfunction. It's what it is. Complacency, whatever you want to call it. All right, that's going to be the show, ladies and gentlemen. I'll see you guys on the Madden stream. And if I don't see you there, we'll see you tomorrow.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.